We continue the Maamar. If you do have the text on page 11, the paragraph starting Dalet. The purpose of this Maamar is to explain how it is that we prepare now in what we call the Golus, in a state of spiritual darkness, how that's the most apt place for us to be, or the most apt time for us to be able to prepare for Moshiach. And we've said that Moshiach will have two primary roles. He'll be a teacher par excellence, which means he'll be able to expose us to not just information that we had never experienced before, but more importantly, information in a way that we had never experienced before. He will teach using visual learning. And over and above that, he'll be a king as well. The purpose of a king means somebody who tells us what to do, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. And that implies that in addition to whatever it is that Mashiach will teach us, he will also allow us and offer us the opportunity to be able to rise and to experience things that are totally beyond us, as a so-called king would take his people into places that they could not necessarily have anticipated on their own. We said in order to prepare for that, we have to work during the time of the Golus on our dedication to Hashem. We have two major handicaps. The one is that we don't see. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to see. Godliness was revealed, and that obviously helped to keep the people inspired and connected. Today we don't see. We live in darkness. Everything that we learn about is theoretical. We don't actually experience it in first person. The second handicap that we have is we don't understand to the extent that we're supposed to. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had a very deep understanding of godliness, and that helped a lot that they should have a meaningful connection. And we don't have. We have a much more superficial level of understanding. So therefore, all that is left for us is what is called nitzochon, netzach, the capacity to be totally dedicated to Hashem, regardless of what happens, regardless of the distractions, regardless of the challenges. That's what we have. That's our great asset. And what we've learned is that it's a power that derives from the essence of our soul. Because our neshama is so deeply connected to Hashem, therefore, just as Hashem is nitzchi, Hashem is forever, Hashem can never be altered, Hashem can never be weakened. So likewise, we have a part of our neshama that is one with Hashem at that very deep level, which stimulates us to have the opportunity to be so dedicated to Hashem that regardless of what happens, this dedication is unwavering. And it's this incredible dedication of ours that will prepare us for the coming of Mashiach. To understand that better, the Rebbe here quotes the previous Rebbe's Maamar, where he's going to make a comparison between the Golus experience, which is of course over the course of many centuries, and the personal experience that each one of us has, whether we're aware of it or not, when our neshama comes down into this world. So that's a comparison that we're now going to make, and we'll learn a lot, obviously, about the journey and about the tools and resources that we're supposed to use during this journey. The previous Rebbe continues in his Maamar, to be ur davaze, Masha Giludriyasid Bodafka Ali Deho Avoidashibizman Hagolos, that in order to properly understand why it is that all of the great and incredible things that Mashiach has on offer for us can only be achieved through our personal work now in this Golos experience, Yuvon Me'inyan Yerida Saneshama Lemata, we'll be able to appreciate this based on an insight into the experience and the goal of the neshama coming down into a human body. Shahayirida hi l'tzorech aliyah. What we're taught always is that the journey of the neshama into the body is a journey of descent with a goal and purpose of ascent. Yirida, the neshama descends into the body. That doesn't just mean some kind of an altitude, that it goes from being high up in the heavens, so to speak, and coming down onto earth. Rather, what it means is that it comes from a very lofty level, a very spiritually aware level, a place of consciousness of Hashem. And then it gets layer upon layer of disguise placed over it until eventually it's technically spiritually blindfolded when it's put inside a human body. So you would wonder, why would Hashem do that? Why would he send an neshama from this incredible place of connection and closeness into this very distant, adrift environment of living in the human body? So to that we answer, Yerida l'tzorech aliyah, that the goal of this descent is in order that there should be a greater ascent afterwards. And let's just understand that for a second. Because basically what that's telling us is, firstly, we should acknowledge that our neshama being inside our body is an unnatural state for the neshama, and it's an uncomfortable state for the neshama. Really, neshamas like to be free. Really, a neshama would appreciate being able to have as many opportunities as possible to connect with Hashem. Put that neshama inside a body, and it's not free at all, and it has very limited opportunities to be connected to Hashem for a variety of reasons, not least of which is that the body has a lot of needs and the body has many limitations. So as a result of that, it's kind of like putting a human being inside a spacesuit, which is designed for a low gravity environment, and then expect them to walk around on the street. It's not practical. It's very clunky. You can barely move. It's difficult to breathe. It's really not fun. Much more so is it for a neshama to put inside a human body. Every time the neshama wants to do something, the body's got an issue. It's tired, it's hungry, it's distracted, it's in a bad mood, it would rather be doing something else. So that's the challenge that the neshama has being inside a body. If the goal was, as many people believe, that you come down into this world, you go through a whole period of time doing mitzvahs to the best of your ability, and at the end of that, you just go to Gan Eden. And Gan Eden effectively is to be revealed to godliness again as your soul was before it came into this world. Well, then that is a meaningless exercise. Why would you invest in something when your return on investment matches your original investment? Nobody would do that. Any thinking person says the only reason I'm going to invest is because I expect to get more back. If Hashem invested a neshama, which is a piece of himself, into a human body, which is a very challenging environment, obviously it was not because he planned to just get the original value that the neshama already had before it came into this body. It has to be that Hashem envisages the possibility and the guarantee of something far, far better. The neshama itself and, of course, the body and the parts of the world that it touches will be in a vastly improved state after the human being has lived than what they were before. That's the principle called Yirida Tzorech Aliyah. It is an axiom of Judaism. It's fundamental to our belief and perception of what life is all about, that the only reason that we have Yirida, the only reason that there's anything in life, not least of which the fact that we live, the only reason that anything happens in what appears to be a negative or downward movement is only for a rebound afterwards that will be spectacular compared to where we came from. So if that's an axiom and it applies to you, every single one of us in a personal way, we're going to apply the same axiom to the broader perspective, basically, what's life all about and why is there golos? So therefore, in the same way as we are absolutely convinced that if a neshama comes down into a body, which is definitely and decidedly a yirida, a descent for the neshama, we're 100% convinced that that is for the purpose of something far greater afterwards, we have to apply the same principle to golos. If Hashem has decided that once upon a time during the period of the Beis HaMikdash, we could see godliness and we could understand things in a very deep and meaningful way, and then we lost that, so we experienced a yirida, we could easily make the mistake of saying, well, that was a punishment. We didn't behave the way that we should have. We didn't necessarily deserve the things that we have, that we had. So Hashem took them away from us. And unfortunately, many people do see it exactly that way. And they say, well, that's basically what it is. It's that we lost the opportunity. If that's how we see it, then we would be looking at the godless experience as being antithetical to what Judaism believes across the board. Because Judaism across the board always says, and Torah always teaches, that a yirida is for the purpose of aliyah. That any descent, any aberration, any loss is only to create the opportunity for greater gain that follows. So we must say that the fact that Hashem switched off our ability to see and to understand with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash has to be in order to create the opportunity for us to rise to an exponentially higher state afterwards. And how do we get there? Well, there's two things we have to be aware of. The first is that we need to know that when Mashiach comes, we will not revert to the wonderful experience that they used to have in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where they had this incredible perception of godliness and a great understanding of what they had perceived. We're not going back there. Much in the same way as it would be useless for a neshama to come down from a level of Gan Eden, spend 70, 80, 90, 100 years here on earth, and then go straight back to exactly where it came from. So what was the point? Likewise, to go through a golos of 2,000 years and end up on the other side of it, exactly where we started with the same kind of exposure to godliness as we had there originally, would be a total waste of time. So we must conclude that the purpose of the golos is that once we get through it and we achieve the avoda, the effort, the service that Hashem had anticipated us and expected from us, during this period, what's going to happen on the other end will be so spectacular that it will make the experience of the Beis HaMikdash look tame. It will totally overshadow the perception, the visual experience of godliness, and the depth of understanding that they used to have then. We don't know exactly what that means. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But we accept and believe 100% that we will be exposed to something fundamentally beyond what the Beis HaMikdash used to be. It's a simple principle. It's like the principle of renovation. If you're going to do a renovation of your home, all that time, money, discomfort, dust, banging and clapping in your house, obviously you would never do that if at the end your house is going to look exactly the same. And obviously you wouldn't do it if your house is just going to look marginally different. The only reason that you're willing to go through that process is because you believe that on the other end, your house is going to look magnificent. It's going to be such an incredible upgrade that you'll be able to turn around and say it was very inconvenient, but it was worth it, absolutely. So we're in a state right now of renovation. Hashem did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash full stop. He is renovating the Beis HaMikdash, not just the physical structure that it might look different when Mashiach comes, much more importantly, the entire energy structure, the whole experience of the Beis HaMikdash is under renovation. And we're the workers. We're the ones doing that renovation through our efforts of Torah and Mitzvahs, and particularly in this unusually dark time where we have to call on Netzach, this perseverance and absolute dedication. That is what creates the possibility and what will create the success of a brand new insight and example, a brand new experience of godliness that will happen then. That's what the previous Rebbe says in his Maimer. Now the Rebbe would like to expound on that. The fact that the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe in his Maimer, makes a very strong point of emphasizing that the entire process of Golos is only in order that we should reach something far higher and greater. And that was the original intention of Golos. It's not like after Hashem had to punish us, he turned around and said, well, let's at least make this worthwhile. No, it was the original intention. Even before there was a Beis HaMikdash, the original intention was the Beis HaMikdash would last for 410 years in its first phase, 420 years in its second phase, and then it would undergo this radical transformation that would allow us to have, in the long term, a Beis HaMikdash that's real, and an experience of godliness that is real, and that is forever. That was always the plan, right from the get-go. Why does the previous Rebbe feel the need to dafka bring that into the Maimer? Hu b'chdei levar atama zeh shegam agilu d'mashiach shigale b'tur rav ba'asogo u're'iyah bo dafka alidei hu avoidu b'zman ha'golos. Well, the main reason why the Friedrich Rebbe included this particular detail in the Maimer is because, as we know right from the start, one of the key roles of Mashiach is to be a teacher. And the idea of being a teacher is not the classic teacher that you and I are familiar with. The kind of teaching methods that we know today are fairly limited. It's primarily what we call auditory learning. In other words, you learn things from somebody who tells you, or you read it in a book, and both of those processes require that you only take information in one detail at a time, one step at a time. If you're missing a step, the whole structure might not make any sense. Whereas Mashiach is going to teach in a radically different way. Mashiach is going to teach specifically in a way of re'iyah, visual teaching. That means that we'll be able to perceive the concepts that he teaches us in a way that is palpable and real. I suppose it's not entirely unlike the technologies that are evolving right now, holographic technology, where you could sit in the comfort of your own home and it would be possible to project somebody in full 3D into your home and they could then teach you, and whatever examples they wanted to illustrate, they could also present in full 3D in your home in this holographic kind of way that you can see exactly what they're talking about. So that's what Mashiach is going to do. Mashiach is going to be this Rav, he's going to be this teacher. And he's going to teach in an incredibly different fashion, far more advanced than any teaching method that ever existed until now. So the Friedrich Rebbe wants to emphasize that teaching method, that new kind of learning, will be the product of our efforts. That's the chapa over here. We, through the course of the Golos, will try really hard and we'll be really dedicated and we'll do our level best to retain commitment to Judaism in the face of every conceivable challenge and every conceivable trick that Hashem has to try and block us from godliness, because we put in so much effort and because we are so tenacious, the direct result of that is we get the kind of teacher that history had never seen before.